I can't tell you the one secret sauce, because I don't think there is only one secret sauce. I think there are some things. What I am doing at every company I'm founding is doing everything with passion. I think this is very important. And as you said, or as we said before, it's more important to do it on the passion thing instead of earning money.
Welcome to The Growth Show. What keeps us driving is what drives you further. This is your hosts, Sebastian Kunz
and Sarah Kaya.
Hi, everyone. We have the big pleasure of talking to Andy Brückschlöbe tonight. Andy, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Andy is a founder and CEO of Ride and a couple of other companies that we will discuss during our conversation. But let's just start right off, Andy. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do for a living.
Okay, so as you already said, I'm Andy. I'm a kind of serial entrepreneur. I started my first business when I was 12. So I sold the backpacks from my mother's local store on eBay. And yeah, this was the time where I had my first experience on entrepreneurship and where I really fell in love with it. And I do it until now. And right now, as you already said as well, I'm the co-founder of Ride. At Ride, we are offering a software for the website quality management of websites. I'm also a co-founder of Bits and Pretzels. Bits and Pretzels is the biggest founders festival in Europe, and I'm as well co-founder and chairman of EFNI. EFNI is a agency focused for performance marketing, especially for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. And these are the three business I'm doing right now. As I said, in the past I had experienced lots of e-commerce stuff. So I sold backpacks on eBay. I sold backpacks on my own e-commerce store. I tried to sell clothes, which was totally fuck up, because at the end we got so many returns, and it was a complete disaster, and I was really, really close to fail bankruptcy. And then I started the consultant business. So at the end I'm very happy to dig deep into so many different businesses. So at the end, I can say, because I think lots of entrepreneurs really often think about, oh, this business is much better than my business, which I'm doing right now. So the grass is always greener on the other side. And I really can say every market and everything, it's always really hard. Or so everything has it ups and down, and it sunsides and it shadows. So that's what I can say with my probably with my 29 years.
Well, you have quite a journey there, in especially an entrepreneurial journey. So since we are at the Growth Show and we have this question we usually always ask, if you connect the dots, growth and yourself, how would you describe it?
Oh, wow. I would say the motto for me was going with the flow. I think that's a bit better than connecting the dots, because at the end I'm going very open-minded through the life, and I already looking for opportunities, but not on the attitude or mindset of making money. It's more of what's drives me or what's my passion. And this is exactly why I started my first business selling backpacks on eBay, because I was very nerdy, I fell in love with computers. And my mother then asked me if I would like to try to offer this backpacks online. And at this moment, eBay was very small, a very small community in Germany with only 2,000 members. And this time, I bought a digital camera and just make a picture and tried it. And the first thing it was very funny because it failed. So the first backpack I offered, I haven't sold, and then I tried to optimize it. So I wrote better titles, better descriptions, and then it worked. And this thing of things which didn't work for the doesn't work for the first time, this is what really makes fun for me, to have these problems and to figure out how to solve it. And I would say I'm a problem solver, and I have really fun of solving problems, and especially on thinking big. And that's the thing which everything is starting. And I went from the backpack business to cloth business because I saw, hey, I'm so into clothes and fashion as well, so I would like to sell it and to make business with my passion. And this was the next thing. And then it failed. And then I was thinking about, okay, what I'm good at. And then I saw, okay, I'm very experienced in search engine optimization because this is what I learned to make money with my e-commerce stores, because I hadn't a big media budget, so I have to do something which doesn't cost money. So I learned the whole SEO stuff, and for this reason I thought, okay, I'm very passionate with this thing, so let's do business with this. And yeah, you have this motto, do what you love and you won't work a minute, and I really believe in that as well. And yeah, and I think you don't have to be so focused on making money and how big is the market and everything. Lots of entrepreneurs are thinking about, it's more about, hey, what really drives me, and especially what problem can I solve? Because let me give you another examples with Riot and Bits and Prestos. At Riot, we had an agency before, so an agency for where we consulted big businesses like Deutsche Telekom, Deutsche Bank, etc. And for this consultancy work, we have done lots of audits, website audits, and we have done everything manually. And we charge daily rates. And doing this, we figured out that what we are doing is so, yeah, it is not very efficient for the first thing, but for the second thing, it you can't do this manually because so many sites are so big, so there is no chance to do it on a good way manually. So we created the software, and then we saw, okay, it's much better, it's more efficient. And for the first day, it was very good because we charged the daily rates, doing our work in 5 minutes. It was a very, very lucrative business, but it was a problem we solved. And this was the beginning of Riot. The beginning or the starting point of Bits and Pretzels was that at Riot, we won some startup awards. And for this, for the first thing, we were really happy about winning this award. And then we went to the journalists, to the Munich Press and journalists, because we would like to be, at this time, we would like to have some PR for hiring people, not for selling products, because we are a B2B product, for hiring people. And this is another thing I learned, doing things nobody else is focusing it. And at this time, no startup was in the local press. So I went to the journalist, but I figured out that they were completely disinterested in our things we are doing, because they said, okay, startup, it's something new and it's something exotic, and please come back if you are big, because in especially in Munich, you have so many big corporates, so you have a very hard competition. And I was so frustrated that I said, hey, I would like to change it. So I approached the Bundesverband Deutsche Startups, Association of German Startups. And I said, okay, I would like to have a regional advisorship. So they gave it to me. And then I were connected with Bernd Storm. He has another problem. He found no investor in Munich. So he was pissed off as well. And then we said, okay, how we can change it? And then we we came to the point where we said, okay, let's do a event where founders are coming together, journalists, corporates, everything, and that we make the startup scene more visible. And this was exactly the beginning of Bits and Pretzels. For the first time, it was called Gründer Weißwurstfrühstück, so it's founders sausage breakfast. And we started with this, and then we saw, okay, we have really exactly the right thing at the right time, and then it went really quickly how it is today. And with EFNI, another thing, I really was pissed off that I have no very good agency for Facebook performance marketing. So outside there are very good agencies, and lots of them are focusing on doing everything, but less of them are focused on one thing, and especially no one at this time was focused on Facebook marketing. So this was the point where I said, or we said, hey, let's do this. And so it was everything started with my own problems, or our own problems. It wasn't only me, it was always a team of different founders and friends.
I think this is amazing. The topic that you described is not looking for the big money, but pretty much trying to solve a problem that you personally have is yes. What gets you the most passionate. And you just talked about Bits and Pretzels, and the first one was in 2014, right?
No, the founder's breakfast was in 2013. So it was 1 year earlier, and we have done a bi-monthly founder's breakfast. And we started with 70 people. It was very, very, very hard to get the first 70 people, because as we founded this and as we approached our friends, everybody gave us the feedback, oh, very nice, but to be honest, I have so much work, I have no time. And for us, it was, huh? How could it be? Because in Berlin, and no offense, but in Berlin, you have so many events, and I know so many founders which are, it feels like they are the whole day at events. And for us in Munich, it was, okay, we have now one event and very good friends, but they haven't time to come for 2 or 3 hours to this event. So we really had to convince them. But after we convinced them for the first time, then it was very easy, because they were very overwhelmed, and they saw the positive thing. And then the second and third thing was much easier. But the first thing, and right, it was as well, it's always hard to get the first customers.
Yeah. And then you went from 70 to 5,000 attendees. How did that happen? It's like, how did you manage that extraordinary growth?
I can't tell you the one secret sauce, because I don't think there is only one secret sauce. I think there are some things. What I am doing at every company I'm founding is doing everything with passion. I think this is very important. And as you said, or as we said before, it's more important to do it on the passion thing instead of earning money. And I think customers really feel the difference. So if you are money driven, for example, if you are doing the conference money driven, then we don't offer food, for example. We charge everything, and this could work. And lots of conferences are working like this. But I think there is a difference if we say, okay, we would like to create a conference where we would like to go for ourselves. So that's a huge difference. So everything we are doing is really loved in detail and driven by passion. Then another thing is working very hard. It's easy as it sounds for the beginning, but at the end it's very, very, very hard, because I remember to so many weekends. And one fun fact is, if I would do it again, I wouldn't do a Bits and Pretzels festival at the Oktoberfest, because I hadn't thought that if you are doing an event in the September, though, at the Oktoberfest, you have to work, especially in July and August, and these are the summer months. So the last years in the summer month, I was sitting the whole 7 days a week from morning to night in my office and, yeah, approaching attendees, approaching speakers and everything. And this was incredible hard, especially, yeah, you have good weather outside there and you have to sit inside and you have no cooling. So like in our office, so this was very hard, but yeah, we sustained, and at the end it paid off. So it's really, yeah, it's all about hard work. It's a bit about having luck, of course. So to be honest, you always need a bit piece of luck. And then I would say be creative as well. So because I think if you're doing everything like everybody else, you can't win. So you really have to think about how can I be better? How can our product be better? And I think one of the best examples is, of course, the iPhone. So, and doing something innovative. So thinking about what are the competitors are doing, I think it's very important, and lots of entrepreneurs don't do that. I always recommend doing, hardly investigating what the competitors are doing. And if you know everything, then think about the next level. So it's a famous motto about if you ask people about what they want, they would answer faster horses. But Henry Ford invented cars. it's a very easy set, but at the end, it's true to really think about what is the next level I can solve the problem.
Yeah. I assume that there are also a lot of things happening behind the scenes of bits and pretzels. Like, I mean, you already mentioned you had to work during summer, and I mean, you had exceptional speakers in the past few years, and I believe you will have in the future as well. So could you maybe share one or two of the funniest, weirdest, or most inspiring moments from Bits and Pretzels?
I think before I start, because the whole time I always spoke about me, and I mentioned it already. It's about the team, and at Ride, Bits and Pretzels, and EFNI, I have a very outstanding and awesome founders team. And yeah, one of the fun facts or things at Bits and Pretzels was the negotiation with the team of Kevin Spacey, because we negotiated over 1 week, day and night, and we really signed the contract. It was 3 weeks before the event, and for us it was the latest time we can do it, because every day later it's not possible to make a positive ROI. So we recognize that if we don't sign it today, we couldn't make this deal. So and then we renegotiated over, I think, 16 hours, and at the night of 4 o'clock we signed it. And I was then totally, or we all, and Felix and Bern, so we have done the whole things together. And I think this is very important as well, and I can really recommend the book of Matthias Schraner about negotiation, because to be honest, I was really, Bern and I, we were really biased in having him, and we at this time we had done everything to get him, but Felix was very, yeah, objective on everything, and he was the cool guy who was very hard in new terms, and this was very good having him. As I said, at the night of at 4 o'clock, we signed it. Then we drove home, slept 2 hours, and then we woke up because we had to do the whole press stuff, that everything is going out and we can sell our tickets the next 3 weeks. And it was a close thing, but at the end it was worth it. But it was very close, and we had to do a lot of work. Another thing, of course, was partying with Kevin Spacey. We had a party at the Oktoberfest, started at the Kaffer tent at 7 o'clock in the evening, and we ended up in a club at 3 o'clock in the night. And at the next morning at 10 o'clock, we had to held our opening speech. And this was very fun because we drank a lot, really a lot. If you are going out with Kevin Spacey, you can't say, "Hey, no, I'm not going home." So you have to, to enjoy this unique, incredible time. So this was a thing we three really liked to looking back. Another thing was, of course, shaking hands, for example, with Richard Branson, seeing him in live, or for example, having Tarana Burke at our conference this year as well, because she is the founder of the very famous Me Too movement, and as she told her story at our stage, it was incredible to hear what he experienced and what he had what she had to experience. And I think the whole thing about Simple is not only coming together with speakers to learn so many new attendees. No, it's very fun as well. So the whole thing, and especially good feedback from our attendees.
To be honest, actually, the first time I was at Bits and Pretzels was in the year of Kevin Spacey, because of Kevin Spacey, because I felt like...
Okay, cool. And
I can see Kevin Spacey and go to a Founders Festival, which was cool.
And that was the innovative thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
And this Hollywood stars at a startup conference. And you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it, actually. And I knew that you, through friends, that you guys were out the day before, and nobody realizes, actually. I mean, you were totally professional, all of you. You founders, all three of the founding team members, you were on stage. Nobody realized that you were actually drunk the evening before, a few hours before. And even with Kevin Spacey, I mean, he was totally in his role of House of Cards, and it was pretty impressive, though.
Yes, thanks for having that. And as I said, I was very impressed by seeing Kevin's face, because he drank a bit more than me, but he performed outstanding without any amps or whatever. He has done a keynote for 45 minutes on a so professional way, which I couldn't do when I'm drinking water. Very fun.
That's awesome, man. Andy, let's circle back 17 years. You said you are 29 now, and all your journey started when you were 12. You already mentioned that they started with the backpacks of your mom, and that you sold them online. Would you say that your mom was your biggest role model, or did you have other mentors or role models or entrepreneurs in your family or a close circle of friends that pushed you in that direction of your journey?
Yeah, I had the big luck that I grew up in an entrepreneur's family. So on my mother's and on my father's side as well. So my mother's had a store for backpacks, but for the whole living stuff. So I don't know how you say it in English, a Raumausstattung, which means from floor to walls to everything that they offered. And especially my grandfather was one of my role models, because he was always hardworking, but humble, funny, and always laughing and in a good mood. And I think this was very inspiring for me. And my father has...
like a construction company, or
yes, exactly. Yeah, and so I only know working 7 days a week. So for me, it was totally normal that I think when I was 3 months old, my mom went back to work with me, and I was close to her, but she worked and. Yeah, my grandfather at Sunday, he has done all the accounting stuff, and for me it is normal, and I couldn't start on Monday and end up my work on Friday. For me it feels a bit wrong, but to be honest, I'm learning it now, and I really recognize this is very important as well, to have this peaks and up and downs on giving everything. That's what I'm experiencing right now, but in the past I hadn't seen this.
And then how old were you when you found it right, actually? It's not too long ago, is it?
We found it right 6 years ago. So I was 23.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that in the beginning. It's Ryte is a software for website quality and optimization. And
yes,
you have more than 500,000 users today. How did you make that happen? Was it a lot of marketing or a personal network, or how did that work?
Yes. So, first of all, I would say the thing is that Marcus, Niels, I, and at this time Berlin, so we were four founders. We were all marketers, and we were marketers as well, or are marketers as well. And I think for this reason, everything we have done, we thought about how we can do marketing and how we can, for example, content marketing. So in this, how we started. So at the beginning, the thing of Ryte was we created an auditing tool, and we would like to offer this auditing tool to everybody. And to offer a tool to everybody, we saw, okay, because it's a very technical product, we have to explain everything. So we created a wiki, an online marketing wiki, and we explained everything for free. And this was one of our content marketing strategies, which worked out very well. And which is a very good lead source for us. Another thing was then we benefit from our network. So we had some very good friends. One of them is Yoast, the founder of the Yoast WordPress plugin, which is installed on over 80 million websites. And he integrated us as well. And this was, I would say, one of our growth hacks doing this partnership, because since then, of course, we have an incredible user growth. But at the end, we have done lots of creative marketing stunts as well. And are really creative on doing marketing. But the thing was, of course, doing SEO or online and content marketing was one of our success recipes.
Yoast is already a plugin which is nearly used on nearly every WordPress website out there, which is nearly 60 or 70% of the websites out there today. How did you convince the founder to integrate you guys? Was there a special deal, or was it just because you were friends, or anything what could help people out there if they want to cooperate with like actual huge companies who are already market big as well?
It was different things at the end. The first thing was that he's a very good friend of Marcus, my co-founder, Marcus Tandler. And Marcus created or founded the SEO Oktoberfest. This is an event as well. But this event is very cozy, very small. And the goal of the event is that the best SEOs of the world are coming to Munich to the SEO Oktoberfest for 3 days, partying together, and of course learning from each other. So to be honest, I learned this event thing from Marcus as well. So Bits and Pretzels is a bit based on this experience as well. So Marcus has done this event on a non-profit basis. The only thing was that, hey, I collect all the good experts and everybody is learning from everything, and it will come around on some way. So this is another thing what I learned from Marcus, not thinking too early on money, because it's what goes around comes around. I really believe in this thing. And so he started this conference, and 5 years later, as we founded Ryte and or onpage.org at this time, and as we approached Yoast, he said, hey, of course I can integrate you, because my users will benefit from this product. So we are doing a free check if the website is accessible for the search engines. And he said, okay, this is a very good service for me. And on the other end, you helped me a lot on growing my business with this conference. So it's like of giving back. And the third thing is, of course, he gets a rev share deal as well. And this three components were the starting point for the cooperation.
Awesome. You just mentioned that one fact already. You changed your name from onpage.org to Ryte. This can be risky, this can be very expensive, and because I mean the name on page.org was already established, right? Why did you decide on rebranding to Write?
It's funny because you mentioned it is expensive and it is risky, and I could totally agree it was everything. why we have done this. As we founded onpage.org, we were focusing on an auditing tool for SEO. So it was one of the logical things to name our product what we are doing. And to be honest, this was one of our secret sources and one of our success things, because it was so easy to recognize, to remember, and this was very, very useful. But then, as we internationalized, we figured out that the .org is, for example, in America, is very negative, because in America, American people think if they are hearing .org, they are thinking about nonprofit organizations. And this was for us, oh wow. So we had lots of frustrating, angry potential customers who say, hey, I thought if I'm at an .org website, this is for free. Why do you charge money for your service? Okay, so this was one of our feedbacks we got. And then we were 80 months ago, we were at a point where we saw, okay, what is our vision, our long-term vision? And at this time, we saw for ourselves that we would like to be the foundation for digital success, so much more like an SEO auditing tool. And for this reason, we recognized that would be better that we have something bigger like onpage.org. And then we have done so much research over 3 months, Marcus and me. So it was really like Chefsache, so done by the founders, really to search about what name could it be. And it was very hard, but because as you said, we were established and we had a good brand, and we knew that we can lose a lot. And that, after 3 months, we found out that Write was available for less amount of money, and so we decided to rebrand to Write. And at the end, thinking of marketing, Write is so good because you can do so many things on marketing flows on Write. So don't just do it right, for example, or yeah, the right data, so many things.
That's actually pretty cool and a great story. I mean, I imagine that realizing that you can't actually expand to the US market with your existing brand is actually tough.
Yeah. And at the end, it costs us so much money, not directly on buying the domain, because this was okay-ish. But yeah, really to rebrand a company with our size, I haven't thought about how deep it goes. So it starts from your pen and it ends at the software code. And I'm coming from the affiliate business as well. And the affiliate business with the WordPress blog is, okay, I change the name in the database and then the WordPress general settings, and then it's done. And perhaps probably I would change the logo as well. But these are three things. Changing a company with 45 employees and with a source code of, I don't know, 100,000 lines and more, and it was, everything was hard-coded, was... Yeah, a lot of work. Yeah. But at the end, it was worth it because, for example, our hiring is much better because Write sounds better like onpage.org. So our employer branding is doing well. The internationalization is better. So everything. So it was really worth it.
I guess this was a very, very challenging and scary moment, but pretty sure this wasn't the only one throughout your career. So maybe you can share one or two more insights of very, very difficult moments and what you learned out of it and how you grew and how you handled those situations.
And I would say it's at every startup or every company, you have this roller coaster way. So you have this up and downs. And especially if you are running some companies in parallel, you have always up and downs in parallel. So if you are running one startup, you have this up where you can get energy for going the next down way. But if you have three companies, and every time I have an up where I can say, oh, wow, that's working very well. And I have a down where I, oh, shit, I have to go deep into that and to delete this fire. And if I have done that, then at the other company, I have exactly the same down. So I have to go into this failure. So this is very hard. So I can't recommend running more businesses in parallel, to be honest. I really would like to recommend one thing and doing this completely. It's much better, especially for your nerves. At the end, I would say it's very good to party the good things and to really remember on this situations if you have this downside and then just keep going. I think this is the only thing I can recommend. Keep going, believe on your vision, be always honest and transparent to your team. I think it's one of my most important lessons. We are very transparent and right, but we learn that on a very hard way. But this is very useful to really share everything. Share your numbers, share your thoughts, share your fears, I would say. But of course, at the end, some fears you can and should share as well. And I think if you are doing this, you get so much back from it.
Be honest, be open, be transparent. I think that's a very, yeah, very valuable lesson for everyone.
Yes, and then at the end, if you have a team, I think it's always a team thing to solve these problems. And it's of course, as a founder, you are in the pole position to solve every problem, and of course, as a founder, you have to do it. But at the end, and especially at right now, we have as very experienced, good management. I'm so thankful, because if some things are burning, I know my team is handling it very good as well. If I'm on vacation, for example.
Yeah. We already talked a lot about Riot as a tool for SEOs and as a toolkit for SEOs. So what would you say belongs, since you have a lot of online marketing experience, what would you say belongs in the search engine optimization toolkit of a smart marketer,
especially for search engine or for
especially
our vision is only the right platform. to be honest, no. What I'm recognizing right now, and I think this is a real mess, is that you have so many different tools outside there, and it's so hard to control them or to use them, because every tool has another UI and UX and another quality of data, for example. And so it's very, very hard. And for me, really very hard to recommend tools. But outside there, besides Riot, of course, you have, for example, Systrix, which is very good. But for example, for the small companies, there are Ranking Coach, for example, which is focused on small companies and is doing a bit similar, but as I said, more for the SMBs. Yeah, if I really would start, then we are sitting here until tomorrow. So, but at the end, if anybody's searching for, then I would search for top 10 SEO tools or something like that, and then you get lists which very good tools, and then just create accounts, test it, and feel if this is the right tool for you, because every tool has another specialization and another UI and UX. So I think it's very hard to recommend the one tool you have to use.
Yeah, especially because every setup, every company, and the needs are different. And
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me try to tackle that question in another way. If there is a founder who's like, it's a first-time founder and he or she doesn't know anything about online marketing and wants to tackle online marketing, besides the right wiki, where should he or she learn something about online marketing?
I would say buy the book from Sebastian Erlhofer, for example. I don't know the exact title, to be honest, but he's a very experienced, good guy who is explaining it very easy to understand. From Julian Zicki as well. I think it's SEO for Dummies. This is very good. And from Mario Fischer. I would say these three books are very good for beginners. Then I would say The Beginner's Guide from Moss, from Red Fishkin, is very good as well. And I would say starting with SEO is always a good thing. And then, add more channels. I'm sure that, or if you would like to learn about social media, then I can recommend the books from Felix Beilharz. He's very good as well. Unfortunately, these are all German books, to be honest. Another thing which I'm reading right now is as I already mentioned, the book from Red Fishkin about his personal journey. And it's not only about his journey, it's also about his learnings about online marketing, SEO and everything. So I think this is a very good read as well.
That's pretty cool. So thanks for all the recommendations. Last question from our side is probably, is there anything else what we haven't asked you but we think, but you think we should have?
No. Nothing in special, but I would like to advise a thing if I'm allowed to. And this is especially an advice to German founders and for everything else as well, of course. But I'm experiencing, especially in Germany, that it seems to be not allowed to think big. And I think this is one of our biggest problems, to really think about the world is your oyster. And we need to think about, okay, if I'm allowed to do everything and if I have every resources, money, whatever, what would I look like to do? And how can I change the world? And the phrase change the world sounds very, big and incredible. And at the end, of course, it is. But I think every founder should have this mantra. And only if you are thinking like this and if you are having a feeling of, oh, wow, that's a bit too big and I'm feeling a bit not very good if I'm telling you this vision because it sounds a bit awkward, then it's the right vision. I can give you an example. At Bits and Pretzels, we thought about we would like to have an Oktoberfest tent. And in 210 years, it wasn't allowed and possible to get it, but we really like to have it, and we had the luck at the end. Was the luck and the persistence, and we got it. Or Kevin Spacey, another thing, we got Kevin Spacey where he was at the highest peak at his career. We were crazy enough to think about to get him, and I think this was of course the foundation. So you have to think crazy enough. And to be honest, and that it shouldn't sound wrong, because I had so many ideas and so many big visions, and lots of them doesn't work. And I wouldn't say if you have a big vision, it really work out, but it is the most important foundation to get real. And I think it should be, especially in Germany, more allowed to dream big, to act big, and to communicate this.
I mean, at the end, it would be sad if you wouldn't try it out and then figure out if you can achieve something big, right?
Yeah, exactly. For example, right, I mentioned sometimes the word success, but to be honest, and we already talked about this, we had so many learnings, and I would say we are far away from a really success way. I think there is so many work to do and way to go. But I know that I'm humble enough to know, okay, what I'm what I have in front of me is a long distance, a long way, but I have this big Stella in front of my mind and go for it. And in, especially in US, you have this slogan, which I think is very good, this mantra, which says, shoot for the stars and land on the moon. And I think this is everything said. Shoot for the stars and land on the moon is what every founder should do.
Very, very wise word at the end, Andy. I also like to think big, especially with your with what you achieved, right? As you mentioned, you got attended the Oktoberfest, which wasn't possible for centuries. You got Kevin Spacey, you grew three companies successfully. And I also wanted to quote you on one or two things for our listeners out there, which is says you've got to really find out what drives you. And do what drives you, what you're passionate about, and really dig deep into yourself and find out what's the problem that I can solve. And also, we really like what you said about that's not about yourself. You didn't take all the credit. You pretty much said that you not only had an outstanding team of founders, but also your employees and the teams around you that make you feel safe and go on vacation, which many, many founders don't really do. And in the end, what is really important, I think, is party or appreciate the good moments or the achievements that you have, and don't focus on what's coming after. Enjoy the moment, appreciate and think back and enjoy those moments. And
exactly.
In this case, Andy, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a pleasure having you. And guys out there, feel free to follow him, follow what Andy is doing. We will share all the necessary links, and see you next time.